Let's Get Moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining us today for Let's Get Moving. Today we're going to talk about Enneagram and find out exactly what this means with relationship coach Lisa Sanders. Lisa, thank you for being with me today.
Thank you so much, Maria. It's a joy to be here.
Okay, so talk about Enneagram. What is it? You were telling me before we started the recording that it's been around for 2,000 years?
At least 2,000 years. And today, if we go to a library, a bookstore, we see hundreds of books. We go on the internet. There are many, many different variations of the Enneagram. But it was in an oral tradition for many years. And through the oral tradition, it became a written tradition. Past 100 years, it went from South America to North America. And now we have a written tradition. So it's a very, you could do, if you spend 25 years researching the Enneagram, it would probably not stop. Like, that's how much information there is out there.
Okay, so why the resurgence of Enneagram in 2024, and how can we use it in our relationships?
Absolutely. It's my belief that if you're in a relationship and you want to know about personality traits, you want to understand the person that you're married to or in partnership with, if you want to understand communication styles or conflicts and conflict resolution, you look to the Enneagram for that tool, one of the best tools, in my opinion, to help with relationship and relationship coaching. I'm surprised that a lot of relationship coaches do not even use the Enneagram in their work. And it does surprise me simply because the Enneagram is such a powerful tool. And time again, we have couples telling us we knew nothing about the Enneagram. And when we started learning about this tool of personality, I actually saw my husband or wife for the first time. I actually saw what they're going through. And I can give you countless examples of what this is about. And if you don't mind, for instance, let's say you're talking about type one. There's 9 types on the Enneagram to simplify things. And type one is the perfectionist. And they tend to see things in a rigid way, and there's right and wrong, and this is their moral code. But look at type 7, which is the pleasure-seeking optimist, fun-loving, spontaneous person who sees morality in terms of relative. It's there's no absolutes. And I see couples that are 7s and 1s together fighting all the time. And then they wonder, why are we fighting? So we bring to them, we have them do an assessment, and we determine, yes, you are a 7, you are a 1. And the reason you're fighting is most of the time these conflicts are coming from your viewpoint, which is the 1 is viewing everything in absolutes. My way is the right way. I don't deviate from that. The 7 is viewing things in terms of there are so many options. There are so many ways of looking at something. And there is no one viewpoint. So the fights and conflicts arise from, it's sort of like hardwiring in the brain, because they're finding out more and more personality used to be nature, nurture. Nature was basically, you're born that way. And nurture was, you were raised that way. And it's still both. But we're finding out more and more that it is nature hardwiring, if you will. And it's slanting in that direction, if you will. So
it would be nice to know if you were a 7 and a 1 before you got married, but how do you deal with that after you're married?
Right. Okay. So what I recommend is, look, if you're healthy and you're a healthy 7 and a healthy 1, you can have a good marriage. But the thing is, most of us walk around and we're average levels of psychological health at best. Unless we've been working on ourselves all these years, then we're healthy. You're not born healthy. We're born pure, and we call it the essence of the being is pure. But what happens is through life's experience, trauma, whatever we go through, the ego is bruised and the essence is torn into pieces and shredded, if you will, so that we have these defense mechanisms. So the Enneagram talks about defense mechanisms, and type one, their defense to regulate reality, if you will, is that things must be in a perfect way. But we understand in reality, there's no such thing as perfection, but that's how they're hardwired and that's how their ego moves and navigates. And then the seven navigates by, we need options. And why do they need options? Because their defense mode is that if I'm deprived of my options, I will not have more and more of what I need to survive. So what happens there is that deprivation is their biggest fear. So with more and more and more on the seven, more fun. So there's a lot to the model in that we could do surface level, we can do comedy, but we could do very deep dive and get it to the point of, you know, where does this couple stand right now? Some couples are extremely healthy, can navigate beautifully. Most couples cannot. And the question is, do you want to, I always tell people, why don't you have that person you're dating take the Enneagram? So at least you have some knowledge. And we actually have people doing that now. People that are dating and giving their boyfriends or girlfriends the Enneagram test, just to see, you know, clients of ours that believe in it so much. And I think more and more people would benefit from this model. It's a personality typology model.
So it sounds like it's getting to know ourselves and what personality type we are to better understand how we react. And then trying to work on understanding the personality type of that person or people that we love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Once we understand ourselves, and yes, you brought up a very good point. It's all about understanding ourselves. You know, I came to the Enneagram. It was basically referred to me by a friend of mine. And he said, Lisa, you're going to love this. So I studied it and I couldn't put it down. I've been studying it and teaching it for 25 years now. And so it's become a love of mine and I use it in my practice. So that was one of my dreams, to use the Enneagram daily in my private practice. And now I've sort of accomplished that and I'm sort of spreading the word about it. It could be viewed in terms of a psychological self-help. It could be viewed in terms of spiritual help. There's a spiritual side to the Enneagram. It could be used in terms of just communication. Like there's so many bits and pieces, and the more you study it, the more you realize what it could be used for. And so I find
for business associates, clients, better understanding the feelings of the other person goes a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for example, like types two on the Enneagram, it's called the helper, and they're in the heart center. And what happens is their drive in life is to connect to other people, to help other people, and they sense what other people need. And then that's where they get their juice from. That's what motivates them. So they have a sense of pride. The pride allows them to reach out and connect to others. And that's where they really feel the connection and it gets them really revved up. But at the same time, helping them is really the reward, the intrinsic reward. So that gets them going.
Okay, now I'm curious about 3 through 6. So you better give us an idea, because I know that people listening will want to know as well.
Okay, so let's do type three. Type three is called the achiever. And the achiever is the one we see very often in America, because America is a three country. Now, achievement is like, I have succeeded at doing this, that, and the other thing. I'm a successful doctor. I'm a successful lawyer, not only by the dollar amount, but essentially, it's an ego measurement. Like my net worth is based on what I make, you know. So there's very much a workaholism built into type three. And if someone were to say, who are the workaholics? I would say absolutely type three. Let's get into type four for a moment. Type four is the romantic artist. So the romantics are basically the ones who are creating a lot in this world. So we look at type fours. I give examples of Joni Mitchell, Sarah McLachlan, Prince, Michael Jackson. Those tend to be the fours. And essentially fours as artists have a longing for something that never quite gets fulfilled inside themselves. Type five is called the observer. And type five, if you walk into the house of a type five, there's books everywhere. They love to read and they love to be alone reading. And my dad was a five on the Enneagram. And every time I came home from school, He would be in the corner reading the newspaper or a magazine. And it's true, fives become experts at a young age. They know what they want to do. They're very, very honed in on the work they want to do and very dedicated to research and analysis. Sixes are the skeptics, the doubters. They have a fear mode where they're phobic, and they're very nice people, but however, they have a phobic and counterphobic structure within their personality. So they're either afraid and they'll move away, or they move into their fear. Believe it or not, Evel Knievel, the stuntman, was a counterphobic six with a seven wing, which again, we're getting into complexity here, but he moved against his own fear by jumping over motorcycles and doing stunts that were very dangerous. And so sixes are very interesting people, very nice people, very loyal. They're the loyalists of the Enneagram. And type sevens, as we mentioned, were the enthusiasts, and the eights are the leaders, and nines are the peacemakers. Peacemakers avoid conflict at all cost, unless they're very healthy, and then they can face conflict head on. But most nines shut down in conflict.
Oh my goodness. So just after you've read the list, I can see myself a little bit in each of them. So the test has to be pretty, you mentioned it's complex, right?
The only scientifically validated test that I'm aware of is the RHETI, the RETI, which is the Riso-Hudson Enneagram Type Indicator. The RETI can be found on the EnneagramInstitute.com website. It's $12. Well worth taking. It's about 140 questions or so, and it's about a 40-minute test. The thing is, it's a forced choice of two questions. And it's not difficult. It's not a difficult test, but you need to take the 40 minutes of time to determine, and then talk to someone who knows the Enneagram, because your top three scores, it could be any one of the top three scores. And with that in mind, it's best to review this information with someone. You could read about it. They give you a full explanation, and you could determine, okay, what is my type? I would say to people, the best way to determine your type is to read a book, take the Enneagram test, and possibly discuss it with someone in the know. But you can determine your own type. I didn't have any of this information. It took me, some people it takes a year to really learn their type. Other people within a month or a week, they know their type.
So I have to ask you why you became so passionate about sharing the word about the Enneagram.
I became passionate because I was always interested in psychology. And I found that the Enneagram, to me, outside of all the personality models that were out there, including Myers-Briggs, the Enneagram went into basic motivations, core fears, core desires, you name it, it discusses it, unhealthy traits, personality disorders, it goes into everything. So it's really, to me, it should be taught in a graduate school level. Mm-hmm. There should be classes on this in every grad school teaching psychology. I'm surprised that they don't, but it's become much more mainstream now than, let's say, 50 years ago, no one knew about the Enneagram. And now a lot of people know about it, and they use on social media, they actually display their Enneagram type on social media. So I thought that was kind of interesting. It's become more popular.
So as a relationship coach, I mean, obviously people need to study this a lot more, learn about their personality type, but what can people gather from it that they can make some small changes in their life? This podcast is all about the small things that we can do in our lives that really have a big impact. So what would be the takeaway for the folks that are listening?
Sure. Like type two, I would tell you, instead of helping other people all the time, take care of yourself. Love yourself. You need time out for you. For type threes, it's not all about work and making money. Spend time developing a relationship with a partner and balancing your relationships with work. You don't have a work-life balance. For fours, it's about getting rid of the notion that there's some romantic partner coming to save you at a moment's notice. No one's going to save you except yourself. Type five, I would tell them, okay, I know you're an expert in books, but you have to learn social skills too. And we're going to teach you some social skills because that's really necessary to get along in the world. For type six, it's about ridding themselves of fear and not being stuck in a downward spiral of anxiety and fear all the time. For type seven, it's about moderation. Sevens don't understand moderation because their whole ego is more. So learning about moderation and how to just say no, just say no. Sevens don't know how to do that. Eights, they have to calm down. They have to learn how to be a little bit of, not so much of a lion. We heard your roar 1,000 times. That's enough. Now it's time to calm down and help people and relax. And for nine, stop avoiding conflict every day. Stop it. You need to get comfortable with yourself enough to grapple with conflict and approach people in a healthy way.
All right. Now, before I ask you how people can get a hold of you, find out more information about the Enneagram, maybe any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, my final thought is we are all nine types, but we have a home base, and the home base shows up when you do the test. The home base is what we're comfortable with mostly. The healthier you are, the more you can tap into all nine types. So understand you're going to relate to all nine types in the beginning, and then you're going to see, as you watch yourself, more of your habitual patterns of behavior.
All right. How can people find out more about you?
Well, my name is Lisa Sanders. My company is Embracing Self. I would like to tell them, if you look on social media, my accounts are Embracing Self on Instagram and TikTok, and you can reach me. I'm working all the time on this stuff day and night because I love it. And I hope you give me a call, shout out. And I do a lot of free work too. So if you have any questions, please feel free to call me.
Lisa, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. And hopefully we can get together again and go into more of the complexities of these personality types.
Yes, I would love that, Maria. Thank you so much.
And my guest today has been relationship coach Lisa Sanders. And thank you for joining us today for Let's Get Moving. Make sure you catch us on Facebook at Let's Get Moving with Maria. And on Instagram, we have some great tips for you at Moving Maria. Have a great day.